TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. Here we are, man. It is amazingly. Have you ever had a Monday? Yeah, I guess you had a Monday before. But yeah. You know, one of those Mondays you're thinking, my goodness. And you're just thinking like, you know, oh my goodness, Tuesday's going to come. And you kind of stretch it out. You do everything you can to kind of beat it, roll it. Do everything you can to kind of stretch that Monday out. And no matter what, man, no matter what, I even stay awake. So you stay awake. If I stay awake, maybe tomorrow won't come.
Never come.
And then find out not only does it come, but now you're sleepy, irritable. It's here. I mean, it's amazing.
And the next day.
Tuesday just shows up. It just shows up. And then you're thinking, man, I was worried about Tuesday. But guess what? Before I had a chance to even think about Tuesday, Wednesday happened. And next thing you know, the judgment seat of Christ. Time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
It is amazing. And, you know, I want to encourage you today to really think about it, because one of your greatest adversaries is your own perception of time. God has given you a measure of it. He's given you a measure, a moment. And nobody knows, you know, your days are numbered and God knows those numbers. But understand this, that is your stage. That is your part to play in this awesome drama that God has laid out since the beginning of time. All of heaven is looking down upon you. God is expecting great things from you to do, invest everything that he's given you for his glory. So when he returns, he'll see that you've gained an interest. And you can't, you have to understand and get the right perception of time. Because time will just, it is a procrastinator's best friend, because it just clicks away, and inside they go, well, that's so great. You know, I would have done it, but I would have had time. I didn't have time. But, you know, God knows the motives of that person's heart. But understanding this, that you have to take time and force it to be in compliance with your destiny. And it just seems harder than ever before. It just seems harder than ever before. There's so much information, so much data, so many things happening in a day. I mean, you know, do we really need to know about all that? You know, and they're just downloading just tons. That's why we really try to separate what's important, what's not important, and sharing with you God's news behind the news. Because, you know, how much do you need to know? If Israel's surrounded like a trembling cup, pray for them, you know, in regards to that. But, you know, every single day they move 2 inches closer. They, you know, it's like creating this whole anxiety inside of you. But also that listen, it's not just everybody else's time or somebody's time that you're focused on. It's your time. Do something with the time that God's given you. Force it to be in compliance with what God has called you to do. Just step out in bold faith, like John G. Lake says, and God will meet you there. He'll step over 1 million people to find someone who will believe him. Look, he searched over the entire earth, and he found David in the wilderness tending sheep, because he knew that his heart was right. You know, everything he wasn't prepared yet, but his heart was right. He stepped over Saul and all these ones who were hiding behind rocks, and everybody, including the religious folk, and stepped over all of those to go find a shepherd out there who had a heart that was after him. And God began to prepare him. And David stepped out. When God said, go back to the mundane things, he did it with great vibrance. But also when he stepped out, and the moment called him, he just stepped out and he did what was required. We're in a day and a time where time is ticking off rapidly. And we have so many people that are not hiding behind rocks, but they're sleeping behind rocks only because the rock has cable. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you turn it off, you might find out, my goodness, I have a lot of time on my hand. A lot of time. And some people say, well, that's the reason why I watch it, because I want the time to tick away so that when my life ends, I'll be distracted from the reality that I did nothing with the time that God has given me. And what I found out in my own personal experience, don't wait for anybody. Understand, you stand alone before the throne of God, no witnesses, no suspects. All you're going to have to offer him is what you did with the time that he gave you. That's it. He said the master is going to hand out talents, and he gives one this person a little bit, and this one a little bit more, and this one a little bit more. And then he goes away, and then he comes back. They don't know when he's coming back, but he comes back. When he comes back, he evaluates what you did with the time and the talents that he's given you. He didn't compare anybody to anybody other than the fact that they did something with what they were given. But if God's entrusted you with one thing, wear that puppy out. I mean, use it nonstop. Mm-hmm. Just work it, work it, work it. And if you're faithful over the one thing, God will give you more things. If you have two things, I mean, just begin to do something for God. I mean, just go feed the hungry and clothe the naked and bring shelter for the poor until you figure it out. But don't just sit back waiting for a hallelujah chorus come from heavens with angels, you know, saying, go thou us to the homeless and preach the gospel us and all this different stuff. It's like, come on, dude. If somebody showed up and you're having problems and they helped you, you're grateful. Mm-hmm. Just do things on the cause of Christ, for the cause of Christ, and let them know, I am here today, not in front of some television or some job that I used as an excuse for years. I'm here because God has called me, saved me, and loves me and loves you. And that's why I'm giving you this clothes right now. That's why I'm preaching you the gospel. That's why I'm going to be, I will pastor you, that type of thing. And you're just saying, I'm doing this because I love God. I'm not going to spend my life, you know, sleeping, my vapor of time sleeping. But you have to force it. You have to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to. They say, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but these are estimates, that 3% of the world, 3% of the people in America employ the other 97%. They did a survey in Harvard or Yale or something like that about people that wrote down their visions and what their expectations were and set their goals down and tracked their day-to-day progress with their planners. And they found out that 80% of the wealth was in 20% of the people's hands. And those people were the ones that did take a time and force it to be in compliance with what God's called them to. Listen, you only have your eyes. Nobody can see through your eyes. I was frustrated for an entire year trying to find somebody who could give me the right kind of contacts, because I wanted contacts. I didn't want glasses. And I finally settled with the glasses with a 2x4 across the top of them, because that keeps me from having them fall apart every 30 days and have to go back and see the people. And I just didn't want. I wanted contacts, you know, like John. You know, John's got blue eyes. And he buys them in a container.
Hazel. No, I'm joking.
Right. How is she doing? Anyway, so they, and God was speaking to me the whole year. I was just sad. Man, I just spent lots of money. I looked at people who had a lot of education. And I just looked at and said, make me see better. And they would put all this stuff on me. You know, how about this? How about that? How about this? I'm like, this is your job. I mean, nothing. Now, listen, I'm not talking negative about you. I'm just talking about your job. I'm thinking, if I had to go all day long, how about this? This better or that better? I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. That's not me. That's not. Speaking of that, well, I'll talk about that in a moment, but. But you got to take time, and you got to force it to be in compliance with what God's called you to do, and quit. You can't blame your life on anybody else. You can't blame your time wasted on anybody else. You're going to stand alone before the throne of God, and we need some help. Those that are on the front lines need help. Gideon needs help. David needs help. People that are willing to go out and step out and trust God, you know, they need help. You to be shoulder to shoulder with them on behalf of the kingdom, and to forcefully advance the kingdom, and to bring hope to a hopeless generation. There is hope in God. But we have to shake ourselves and realize, wait a minute, I'm sleepy. I'm lethargic. I've been hiding and letting time just pass me by. And you have to force it to be in compliance. And you can do that. And hopefully that'll be made available one day on VFN TV. But value-based vision management, understanding that you can force it. You can apply God's wisdom. You can apply God's wisdom to time, taking it and forcing it to be in compliance. There's wisdom on how to do that. And the wisdom on how to do that is something very simple, just planning out your day, you know, writing down and searching out what God's called you to do, what your vision is for your life, what God's called you to do, and begin to put that as a on your timeline, and begin to break it down to small intermediate steps and begin to say, yeah, I'm going to do this step and this step and this step. And next thing you know, you begin to accomplish things. Mm-hmm. And you even prioritize your regular day too, because that's been taking all your time. You need to put it in the right perspective. And what happens eventually, that very thing that God's called you to do comes to pass because you applied wisdom to your life. You took the vision that God's called you to walk out in your life. You wrote it down. You made it plain, just like Habakkuk says to do. You made it plain so other people can run with it. You don't talk when people talk about, you know, this is what I feel like I'm called to do. And you're like, what? What's that? What? You know, if you're the only one that understands that, it's not ready yet.
Right.
Because you have to write down what other people can run with it. And this is what some people say. Well, I don't want other people to run with it. This is mine. I say, okay, well, have fun with it.
Yeah, right.
Have fun with that. But the you write down so other people can run with it and understand that if you'll be faithful in applying God's wisdom to bringing those things to pass in this thing called a life, this vapor, this premarital time that we have before the great wedding banquet in heaven where we're the bride of Christ being married over to Jesus in front of the Father and all of the heavenly hosts, that we can bring something to lay at his feet. Mm. We can lay and understand. People say, well, which people who are struggling with this, look at other people's life and they think, but they're just so smart and they have it all together. No, they just are persistent. They're just persistent. They're consistent. They look at, apply wisdom. And when they fall down and they make mistakes, they understand, they just get back up and go again. They just don't stop. They don't wait for somebody else to do something before they obey God. Mm. And that's what I encourage you today. You got to have to just shake yourself. Shake yourself and say, you know what? I am not going to let 2013 or the year you're listening to this pass by. Pass by without me accomplishing what God has in my heart in this year. And it passes by. I mean, it's already, March is knocking on the door now.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're into what God wants you to be into, the less time you have to be able to do it. It's like the adversary just speeds your clock up.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know, and when you're visionless, you're like you're a student at school. We used to have clocks with hands on them. And you would stare at that clock, and 5 minutes would take 17 years. 17 years. And the last minute, it was like just all of demonic forces were holding back that second hand before that bell would ring. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my gosh. Yep. I
so many people who have no vision, they're the ones hanging around the time clock at the office. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all all, am I paying every one of you guys to hang around the time clock here? You know, they don't understand. The boss man's looking like, that's $75 an hour. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
And packing up 20 minutes before it's time to go. Like, wait a minute.
It's visionless. You know, it's just somebody that doesn't have purpose. And it's like, you need to sit down with that employee, ease, and work with them and get them to get the vision of what you're doing because they are not connected to what's happening right there. But I just want to encourage you today to be connected. Be connected to what God has called you to do. Listen, the word of God applies to you, not him over there or her over there. Everything in the Bible is written to you, to the entire church. And that is what you're going to be evaluated by at the throne of God. That's just it. It's all you're going to have to offer him is what you do for him. And in that, you're going to be tested. Things are going to come your way, but you just stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to him and understand it's in those testings that what you were doing, your motives will get worked out and all the different things. And then all of a sudden, you have more purity in what you're doing because you're able to get rid of, oh, what that was, that's gone. You know, all the hay, wood, and stubble is gone, and you have no problem letting anything go if it's just wasting your energy and busy in your life. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you today to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Hi, I work in a major retail store in Massachusetts on the overnight shift.
Okay.
And we're allowed to have our radios down low in our aisles that we stock, but I was told that I cannot have any religious music, that it was in our handbook that they gave us, which I looked in the handbook, and it is not there at all.
What about other music? Is other music being played by other employees?
Any other kind but religious, which is me, which I'm a Christian.
Well, privately owned companies have a lot of rights that public institutions would not. But one thing is I think they've got it wrong. They probably think, somebody in human resources thinks, that allowing Christian music to be played while you're doing work are somehow a violation of the law. And that's just not the case. And they've got it wrong here, to be quite blunt.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today? Right. And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice. Yes. And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares
about
everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The little Lord Jesus. Asleep on the hill.
I did want to share that, you know, sometimes things don't always work out the way you always expected them to work out. I know that maybe you might have had everything figured out, but a big question sometimes that people have is why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Mm. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, you hear that.
Yeah.
And Galatians 6:7 says, you know, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, you know, the Bible is true. I mean, maybe you're just seeing bad things in your life because maybe some of the bad decisions and choices that you've made, you're kind of experiencing what you've been sowing. Yeah. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. there's two equations. There's bad things that happen to good people, but sometimes they're just bad things happen because you've been sowing bad things. Mm-hmm. And you're reaping what you've been sowing. I mean, listen, you can't get away from your harvest. It's a harvest.
Yeah.
But what you can do is start repenting and start sowing some good seeds.
Right.
And watch good, you know, happen in your life. But we really want to aim and really just want to think about and just open up a conversation about why does that happen? What's the purpose behind all of this when you mm-hmm. see bad things? I mean, if you don't want to see certain consequences in your life, you really got to start changing those type of decisions. But there's an idea. Oftentimes there's an idea that circulates in the hearts and minds of many believers that's just simply not right. I mean, somehow we just kind of got this, you know, it just entered our mind and our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought goes something like this, you know, now that I am a believer, or because I've chosen to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and because I abide, things should go perfectly for me, and I shouldn't have to suffer bad things in life because I'm in love with God and he's in love with me, and that settles it.
That sounds familiar.
I sang that song. That settles it. I'm in love with God and he's in love with me. This is who I am and that's who I be. That settles it. God has my back, you know, and I'm not against him. I'm for him. So everything from this moment forward is just going to be peachy. Right. But where does that idea come from? It's like, okay. But it doesn't mean that bad things sometimes won't happen to good people. I mean, listen, this is what Jesus said.
Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations. You will have trouble. Mm-hmm. But cheer up, because I have overcome the world. I mean, listen, when you give your life to the Lord, he doesn't promise you a peachy life. He doesn't promise you a life that doesn't have problems and circumstances and trials and troubles. It's not promised anywhere.
Right.
In fact, Jesus plainly tells you that, listen, in this life, you're going to have them. You're going to have many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. Listen, you can go through anything if you choose to go through it with God. And you start looking back in the Bible, and we start looking back for context, and we look at those who have gone before us, and to look at some of the trials and tribulations that they've been through,
mm-hmm.
and what they had to go through. I mean, think about Jacob. I mean, Jacob was lied to by his father-in-law, completely deceived. I believe he worked 7 years for the wrong wife.
Mm.
I mean, if anything constitutes, you know, a bad thing happening to you, it's like,
man.
Now I'm here working on this property here for you for 7 years, mm. only to be tricked, only to be, you know, deceived. I mean, right. And talking about sowing seeds, I mean, Jacob, you know, Jacob sowed some seeds of deceit, and what did he do? Reap a harvest of deceit.
He sure did.
You know, the player got played. You know, the trickster got tricked. And note to self here, commercial, you can't play God. You can't trick God. You know what I'm saying? God will always have the last word.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, he winds up having to work another 7 years for the wife and the woman that he really wanted. And he winds up being just deceived, betrayed, just messed up, you know? But hey, if you sow certain things, don't be surprised if you reap certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of an example of what we talked about in the beginning about, hey, God can't be mocked.
Right.
You know, you will reap what you sow. And it's almost a lot like your wake about with what Dr. Cloud speaks about. Henry
right.
Cloud, who wrote a book, Integrity, The Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. Excellent book. And in his book, he talks about the wake of a boat. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you're in a boat and you're sailing, or you're ripping through the ocean or the water, the
mm-hmm.
lake, you may be in the body of water. If you look behind the boat, there's what is called a wake. And it's basically two sides of a water. You know, two sides of the water shows that you kind of are piercing through the water,
right.
and it leaves two dividing lines, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is a lot like that. And as you're going through your life and going through relationships and places and people and organizations, that you leave a wake. You leave basically a trail behind you,
mm-hmm.
and the wake doesn't lie.
Right.
The wake doesn't lie. And in his book, he talks that the wake has to deal with one side is about relationships and how you treat others, and the other side has to do with tasks and how you complete those.
Right.
And how do you show up? You know, this question people need to ask themselves sometimes, how do I arrive? Everyone has a perception about how they arrive in a certain place, at a workplace, or maybe amongst the church gathering. But your perception of how you arrive and how you actually arrive are two different things. And the wake doesn't lie. The wake is, it is what it is. This is your harvest. This is what you have in your life as you're passing through. And God's not going to be mocked. It is what it is. You're going to reap what you sow. But the important thing to realize that no matter the trials, and maybe you might have done this to yourself, and maybe, you know, you're reaping some bad, you know, harvest because of the seeds you've sown, you can always repent. You can always cry out to God. You can always ask for mercy, and maybe this harvest could be stopped in your life, and you can begin to start doing the right thing. And so, you know, Jacob is a good example of, listen, you know, this can come back. You know,
mm-hmm.
this will come back. God can't be mocked. You will reap what you sow.
Right.
But I think about Joseph in Genesis, and you think about, listen, Joseph was just a happy son, you know. God gave him a dream, you know what I'm saying? His daddy hooked him up with a coat, you know, many colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joseph was the man. He was cool. And God had a plan for his life, and God told him, gave him a dream. But Joseph wasn't popular. He wasn't popular amongst his brothers. I mean, so much so, they had something against him. They were jealous. They sold him into slavery and had no problem lying to their father that, you know, an animal ate him up, and they went through this whole plan.
Throw
some blood on his coat and everything, and it's like, really? And you got to think about Joseph as he's sitting there in the pit thinking, why did this happen to me? You know, I tried to do what my dad told me to do. I got the coat, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, my dad loves me, and, you know, his father did love him, you know, quite a bit. And yet he's thrown into a pit, thrown into a slavery. He's rejected by his own family members. Think about it. Your own family members reject you. And then he works as a servant for Potiphar. There he is working for Potiphar as a servant. You know, now he's doing his deal. He's faithful at doing what God's, you know, has before him, I guess. You know, he's like, well, I guess I'm a servant for Potiphar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Potiphar's wife, the boss's wife, tries to seduce him and get him. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you think Joseph's like, I wish this woman leave me alone? You know, imagine the conversation Joseph is having with God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness. You know, why did you allow this to happen to me? You know, he says that, you see, I've worked with integrity for my boss. You know, eventually she lies, you know, by the way, she lies. She says that he, you know, basically took advantage of her. He gets thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. You can imagine the dialogue that Joseph is having. And I was like, God, you gave me this. It all started with this dream.
Yeah.
I get thrown into a pit. All right. I get rejected by my brothers. I get sold into slavery. I'm Potiphar's servant. His wife is trying, of all the guys up in this place, she's trying to seduce me, get me all, you know, messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've walked, Lord, you saw this. She walked into a room and I walk right out of it. You know, she comes to another room and I walk right. Then the one day that she corners me, the one day that I couldn't escape, she go ahead and lies on me. And here I am in prison. Who's going to believe me? I'm just a servant slave boy that I have no home. I haven't seen my family. God, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And oftentimes people, you know, judge a circumstance by the first act. They don't know that God is doing something. God has a plan. He's writing a story. Listen, act two is coming. You're just in the first act.
Right.
You're just in the first act. So he's in this dungeon in another pit. And the story goes on and on and on here, but on the surface, on face value, things didn't look good. You know, they didn't look good for him, but God was doing something. And when bad things happen to us, we can first ask the Lord, you know, did I bring this upon myself? You know, so sometimes you can ask yourself, hey, I'm going through a bad situation. You know, am I reaping some seeds? You know, I'm harvesting for my seeds. So a good thing to say is, God, you know, did I cause this to happen? And if not, then you can understand that you can trust God, even though the circumstances don't look good. You know, you searched your heart, you've prayed, and you say, God, you know, and you have a peace in your heart that this was not because of anything that you've sown.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, God, you know what? I trust you. I trust you. And God is at work. God is at work, and he's writing your story. Now, he's allowing you to have some processes in life. It's allowing some situations to take root. But stay low, be dependent on him, and hold on, because the second act is coming. Mm. You're just in the first act. He's writing the story. You got to trust him now.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get it, whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So what happens, Joseph, eventually, he goes from the pit to the palace and becomes the second highest man in all of Egypt. I mean, think about it. And he wound up just remaining faithful to the Lord, and God just took care of the whole situation. I mean, there's a whole lot that happened. There's a whole lot of many years. We want to kind of rehash all of that for you. But what we want to encourage you is that in the second act, he went from a man that was rejected, had no place, you know, that he can call his own home. He had no family. Even he finally works himself into a job, and his boss's wife lies to him, gets thrown in a pit. He rises to the ranks and helps people out, and they even lie on, you know, they forget about him, and it's like, oh my goodness. But nobody knew that Joseph was in process. You know, that was just act one of God's plan. God had act two in store for him. You can't judge what's happening in your life by the first act. God's doing something.
Right.
And God doesn't waste a trial. He doesn't waste a bad situation. God was working process in Joseph's life. He was maturing him and getting him ready for what? To be the second highest man in all of Egypt.
Wow.
In all of Egypt. Listen, God has Act 2 coming. Think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a man who was born. Think about this. A man who was born with destiny. Mm-hmm. I mean, born in Jesus' family. I mean, he's Jesus' cousin. He was raised with special instructions by God from the very moment before he was even born. He was leaping in his mother's belly when he heard Mary's voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about a divine destiny for someone's life. He lived a fasted lifestyle, only ate locusts and honey. I mean, this guy was a prophet of old, coming in the spirit of Elijah. Mm-hmm. He's baptizing people in water for repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. This is John the Baptist's ministry. He had the pleasure of preparing the way of the Lord, and he himself, he preached repentance, and he had the honor of baptizing Jesus and spoke the truth to power. Mm. I mean, John the Baptist was the man. That's, you know, right, what I'm saying? He had it going on. But what was his reward? His reward on this earth was his head was chopped and put on a plate. Mm. I mean, think about that. And you think, oh, what happened? What happened here? How could this happen to John the Baptist? Mm. How can this happen to John? He was a man that lived for God, a prophet of old. His life had destiny. And his head, his head gets chopped off and put on a plate. Listen, you can't live life by, you can't measure your life by what's happening on you know, surface value here. In the natural, it doesn't look good. But we've become so convinced that what we see happening in the natural realm, what we see happening right now is the real story. We don't understand that there's a story behind the story. We don't understand that God is at work. I mean, John the Baptist had the gift of martyrdom. He had the gift of laying it all out for God, and it cost him his life. And let me tell you something. He will receive a great reward in heaven. God had a plan. This was no defeat. This was a great honor that's still serving us today. Today, we're still being ministered to by the life of John the Baptist. And listen, it's not about this life. It's about the life to come. When we come back from the break, we're going to share more about, listen, how we need to take things in perspective, how we need to understand that God is writing the story, and there's always an act two. There's always an act three. Don't look at act one and think, oh, no, it's all over. It's all said and done. God is still writing the story. We're talking about sometimes why bad things happen to good people. And I want to say right from the start that, you know, God is not the, he doesn't do bad things to us. You know, not every bad thing that happens is because God's sending us bad things. You know, God allows things to happen, but he's not the initiator. But you can't blame all your problems on God or God's doing something to you.
Right.
And sometimes what you consider to be a bad thing is actually not a bad thing, but a good thing. Like, you know, discipline, you may have a wrong perspective on discipline, and you may see it as a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing. And so, you know, it's important that we just don't put a dump here on God and say, oh, everything that I perceive to be bad or every bad thing is from God. But God does allow some bad things to happen. And the thing about it is that, listen, he already told us that in this life you will have troubles and tribulations, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. And no one promised any believer, no one promised anyone, and you know, God didn't promise in his word that you would have a life free from troubles, free from trials, free from heartaches. But what he did promise is that he has overcome the world, and if you are with him, that you can be an overcomer. He's called to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But it's your relationship with him that's going to help you to endure to the end. And we talked about some of the people in the Bible that have gone through great trials and tribulations, but it was only the first act of their life. It was only the first scene. And oftentimes we can go through situations and we're thinking, why in the world is this happening to me now? Why is this happening? I mean, I've tried my best. I'm fasting now. I'm praying more than I ever prayed. This doesn't fit my grid. Hold on. Don't panic. It's just act one. Listen, God wants to show himself strong to you, but you got to hang in there. You got to trust him. You got to stay faithful. You got to stay steady. You can't go, you know, be tossed back and forth, but you got to say, you know what? I'm staying with God, and he's going to see me through this, and I'm going to have a testimony, not just the monies, because I'm willing to go through the test. I'm willing to go through the fire and not be burned.
Right.
I think about the Apostle Paul. I'm just some observations. I'm just some observations. But you look at the great Apostle Paul. This is a man who had an amazing encounter with God, knocked off of his donkey. I mean, just an amazing encounter with him that just literally changed his world upside down and made him a lover of God, a worker for God, and his ministry is still, I mean, we're still being ministered by the Apostle Paul. But this was a man who was literally flogged, This was a man who was beaten. This was a man that was stoned. This was a man who was shipwrecked as he was on his ministry trip to share the good news. He had shipwreck. He was deserted. He was arrested. He was put in chains. This is a man who was in prison. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Right.
Can you imagine?
I'm sure his flesh wasn't tingling either during all this.
I would imagine not. I would imagine not. I mean, God brings, you know, on the cover of the Jerusalem Post there, arrested. The you know, Apostle Paul here is arrested. You can imagine.
Once again.
Yeah, once again. And you can imagine the conversation. Like, Paul, this is not good for the ministry. This is, you're on the cover of the Jerusalem Post. This is not going to advance the kingdom right now. I mean, I know that, you know, you've just left the Pharisees. I know that you come from the tribe of Benjamin. But, dude, I mean, this is not going well. I mean, we had to bandage you up the last time and explain the bruises on your face. You know, the mugshot that we sent them that you were coming, you know, doesn't look good with all those scratches and bruises. We've had to tell them that you have a prison ministry as well. I mean, we had to tell them something because you're being arrested.
That's right.
And then there's these people that everywhere you go, there's a riot. I mean, you know, we know about the love of God, but there's just a riot everywhere you go. Things get stirred up. What? This is not good. If you're looking at it face value. You think about Paul saying, Lord, you know, you know, I'm just, you know,
paraphrasing.
Imagining, you know, imagining, you know, work with me here. But I'm just thinking, can you imagine a conversation that Paul's having with the Lord? You know, God, I'm trying to go from city to city. You know, I've got Ephesus on my mind. I got Corinth on my mind. I got Asia Minor on my mind. You know, I know that you're stirring me up. You've given me the Macedonia call. The guy's calling me out in the vision. I'm ready to go. But these shipwrecks, you know, what's going on? And then this prison. See, I did not schedule this prison encounter. That was not part of the mission trip. That was not part of this.
It wasn't on my itinerary.
It wasn't on my itinerary. Because I'm trying to advance the kingdom. You know, I mean, Paul's like, I only got X amount of time left on this earth. I've given so much of my time to these Pharisees and that was going anywhere. You know, I've seen the light. I've made Jesus Lord, and I'm giving it all. But this detour in the prison, this is not working out. This was not part of it. But that was just act one. And you think about, I mean, how Paul could have been attacked and thinking, I've seen what God's done in my life. I've seen the ministry advance. We go from city to city. The devil is terrified of what God is doing. There's great signs and wonder. There's power happening. There's disciples being left. There's churches that are being planted. And I'm sitting in prison? Who's going to hear? Obviously, he had a teaching gift. Who's going to hear the word of God? What's going to happen? He could have been thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just act one. See, Paul maybe could have thought that what I was going to do to advance the kingdom had to be me keep going from city to city, but he didn't realize that God was going to allow that situation, that prison experience in his life, to touch him, to empower him by the unction of the Holy Ghost to write the prison epistles that are by far and have been advancing the kingdom of God more than maybe any trip that he was scheduled to go on. And so it's like, oh my goodness, the context is always at the end of a situation or the end of a trial that you get to realize, oh, I see maybe why I went through that and I see how that pain worked out. And had I not gone through that trial, that tribulation in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. And God, you were in control of that whole situation all along. And oh my goodness, it was just act one. Maybe you're in act one right now.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And yeah. It's the anointing. It transferred.
I know. Isn't amazing? It never happened until it happened.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, not a problem. Oh,
mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does. Well, I wanted to share.
We're just blowing your mind. Can we? It's like
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say them.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes. Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio. We're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote. Very
Let's
serious
get in the serious mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
Ian, we are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Maybe you're going through a trial and tribulation. It's like, this is not what I perceived. This was not what I thought. But you're going through it. Listen, be encouraged. If you're abiding and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, he will lead you and direct you through it. And that trial, that tribulation will be redeemed. Nothing gets wasted in the kingdom. Let me tell you, God won't waste any situation. But you got to trust him. I mean, Paul wound up being used so powerfully that would, in the natural mind, how would that make sense? We would say in our natural mind, you better keep Paul out there, send him an army, because he's doing some good work. And everywhere he goes, this guy is tearing it up for the Lord. And churches are being planted, disciples are being won, and signs and wonders are following. Let me tell you, this is God. Keep him out on the circuit. Don't bring him back, you know. Mm-hmm. Give him a battalion of soldiers, and God had other plans. I mean, in prison, he's testifying to King Agrippa. In prison, he's testifying to Governor Felix, you know, and Festus. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's speaking truth to power everywhere he goes. And he wishes, King Agrippa, that you are as I am, except for these chains. And he's like, he doesn't stop. And, you know, a lot of times trials and tribulations will come in your life, and you can make a choice. You can let that trial, that tribulation, that setback stop you from advancing the kingdom of God. Well, you can say like Paul, and you can look at King Agrippa and say, King Agrippa, I wish you were like me except for these chains. You can keep pressing on. You can keep advancing the kingdom of God no matter what, and you will come through it on the other side. Mm. I mean, let's look at another example. How about Jesus? Mm. Jesus was born to die from the moment he was conceived. I mean, Jesus, who was fully God, fully man. I mean, think about it. He left his deity. I like to say this. This is maybe not the best analogy, but, you know, he put down his Superman cape to walk maybe as Clark Kent. You know what I mean? He laid down his deity and said, I'm going to do this in the strength of the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. He lived a perfect, sinless life. life, and yet some of the people that he came to, they rejected him. He was ferociously attacked by the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were trying to throw him out from city to city. If they could have gotten away with hurting him and killing him earlier, who knows, if they probably would have tried. I mean, they tried pushing him over a cliff and he walked past it one account.
Mm-hmm.
And just when things were getting good for Jesus, I mean, just when his ministry was expanding and there was a following and there was a large group of people that were coming, I mean, there's signs, there's wonders, there's feeding of the 5,000, there's eyeballs being, you know, people are being able to see, there's lepers that are being cleansed, there's a woman with the issue of blood is being healed, I mean, demons are being casted out. I mean, Jesus is doing it. He's the faithful Son. He did nothing that wasn't outside of the will of the Father. He was completely obedient. He oozed love. He did only what he saw his Father doing. He sought the Lord, the Father God, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And just when he throws out some real meat, I mean, he shares that, you know, he gives it to him. A bunch of the disciples start walking off.
Mm.
They said, "This is a hard teaching. We don't know if we can hang with you right now. Let me think about that. Let me get back with you on that one.
You had me with it until you started talking about eating your flesh and stuff.
You're getting deep with that. I don't know if I can.
Drinking your blood? What?
This teaching. And they leave him. They leave Jesus. And then on top of that, I mean, you got 12 disciples. You know what I'm saying? You're pouring out your life to them. You've heard God. You've selected them. You know what I'm saying? You've prayed all night and you came back with some. I mean, God spoke to you. Mm-hmm. The Father spoke to you, and you have some disciples. And yet one of them betrays you. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus himself had a betrayer in his own midst. And then here Jesus is trying to fulfill the will of the Father. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the hour that he needs the disciples to stand with him, he's about to drink this cup. And he's saying, "Lord, if not my will, your will be done. But listen, there's a way that this can happen without me drinking this cup. You know, I could be cool, but nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? I'll drink it. You know, I'm here to please you." And they couldn't even hang with him. They couldn't hang with Jesus. And in the hour that he needs them, he's all alone. And he's in agony. He's sweating. Drops like blood, not blood, like mm-hmm. blood. And he's being abandoned while he sees one of his disciples. Is that Judas coming with those people with knives? It's like, are you for real? It's like, are you this serious? But that was just part of, that was all part of it. It's all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Jesus, what looked like a defeat in man's eyes was a great victory in the Lord's eyes. I mean, Jesus died on the cross by choice. And you can't go any lower than Jesus, but you can't go any higher than him either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess on earth, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father God was in control the entire time, even when he's on the cross. Even when he's on the cross and he's calling out, you know, he's like, "Oh my," you know, and God, the Father, for the first time has to turn away from the Son. And you think, why is this happening? Listen, it's all part of the plan. It was all part of his plan. God had a bigger plan in store. Father God, the Father, had a bigger plan in store. And you can't look at what's happening in your life or anyone else's life, and you just can't. People are so quick to just put a label on it and just say, "Listen, I don't know why this is happening." You know, you may know, you may not know. But one thing that you need to know, one thing that you can be 100% confident in is knowing that, listen, God is with you if he's your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. That God can and will deliver you. That God will use what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. And that he will see you through the whole situation, that no matter what it is, that this is just the first act. Act two is coming. He's writing a story. He's writing it out for you. And your story is different than someone else's story, and their story is different from another person's story. The Bible says that those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Act two is coming, but you got to hold on. You got to hold on. And you got to stand strong. And you got to say, Lord, no matter what, I can get through this. I can get through this. I can make it because I trust you. And so many things in life, so many people's plans, you know, God had this great thing to pull somebody through, but you gave up during that time. You blame somebody else, maybe. You got stuck in a depression. You started looking and magnifying the problem instead of magnifying God. And you allow the trial and the tribulation to shut you down, you know, instead of allowing it to propel you into the next place, into the next season of your life and in your ministry. And I think that so many times we have an unrealistic expectation of life. You know, you have the whole dreamy concept of what it's supposed to be. And it's like, listen, who said that? Where did you find that? All you need is God. All you need is God. You understand that your life is not in the enemy's hands. Your life is not in your own hands. Your life is in God's hands. And with that, you can have great peace. He will see you through.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Marathon Weekend Broadcast, where this week's programs play back to back. Find out more at VFNTV.com.